My next guest is on the line. He's Barry Fulyoun. He's a clinical psychologist. I bet you didn't know that today was International Panic Day, and that is the discussion we are going to have right now. Barry Fulyoun, thanks again for being with us on Chai FM.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for the translation of the last song.
Anytime, absolutely anytime. They actually got it wrong, because on my runner, it actually says the peace has not yet come, but that's not correct. It's not peace, wrong word. So there I am showing off about my vast knowledge of the Hebrew language. But I know nothing about psychology. I know nothing about... I actually thought International Panic Joe was a bit of a tongue-in-cheek joke, I have to tell you, until I found out that it isn't. So I sort of sat up and took note, and I guess what I want to ask you is... what does a day like this actually highlight about how people experience panic? Because it is something very real, isn't it?
No, most definitely. And I think you've touched on a valid point that sometimes we're all going to experience it, and it's just to what level. Is it pathological and debilitating, or is it a normal part of life?
Yes, I mean, that's pretty key, because panic, it's a word we don't use very often. You know, anxiety probably is something that we probably default to on a day-to-day basis. But panic, I'm thinking of something like really dramatic. What does panic actually look like in everyday life for ordinary South Africans?
I mean, so what is an ordinary South African? But that's a great question. So I think the first thing we need to keep in mind is that panic in itself is not dangerous. Mm-hmm. It's rather how the body's alarm system is activating. And often sometimes this can be the challenging part when there's no immediate threat. So if we're thinking about stress for deadlines, if we're thinking about getting to places on time, that could be a sense of immediate panic. And we're all going to experience it sometimes in our life. It feels very frightening, but the experience itself isn't harmful. And it's very much sometimes our body just doing its job a little too enthusiastically.
It's a very difficult conversation, because I'm not a medical man or a psychologist, and I don't understand these things. But if you had to distinguish between a moment of panic or a panic attack or an anxiety disorder, are these all part of the same spectrum, or are they just completely and utterly different experiences?
So I think it's important to keep in mind that they're on the same spectrum. You know, the panic being the most basic.
Yeah, we're having a terrible line. I don't know why. You're sort of cutting out and coming back. I'm going to let you. I think we've lost you. We're going to come back to you and try and see if we can get a better call quality, because we can't have a conversation like that where we only hear every third or fourth word. So while we wait to reconnect with Barry Fulyoun, our clinical psychologist, discussing panic, I just want to remind you that the WhatsApp line number is 061-895-1019. Barry, I believe you're back with me. Here's hoping we have a better connection this time around.
I'm hoping so too. Sorry about that. I think I had a moment of panic there.
No, all good. You're back with me and I can hear you, all your words. So you were talking about the fact that they actually are part of the same spectrum. I'd asked about whether a panic attack or a moment of panic or an anxiety disorder, how these things relate to each other.
No, definitely. So I think, you know, where it gets confusing is the fact that all of them have a racing heart, shortness of breath, sweating potentially, trembling, a little bit of dizziness, tingly sensations in extreme cases, feeling maybe a little bit detached, or having a bit of fear immediately. And I think that's panic is the immediate element. A panic attack is a lot more debilitating, and that's where it might struggle with breathing, and you might really feel that, you know, your day is not going to go well at that point. And whereas an anxiety disorder is a long pervasive element where it's pathological.
Okay, so that's the one you need to be wary of. Does one necessarily lead to another? I mean, does a panic attack generally, if you are prone to panic and you suffer from panic attacks, is that going to result in an anxiety disorder in most cases?
Not necessarily, but I think they overlap, that people, like you say, who are more prone to panic attacks are more likely to have anxiety disorder. I think with enough stress, all of us can at some time in our life have a panic attack. And again, it's at that point you think you might feel like you're going to die, or you might feel like it's incredibly harmful. And it is very scary at that point, but it is definitely not going to kill you. One of the things we often speak about is the fact, a lot of people think they're having a heart attack, but in fact, your heart is racing. It's not stopping.
You know, this is just very, very, very interesting because as I was talking to you, I was thinking, oh, I'm so lucky. I've never experienced this in my life. I just haven't. And then I remembered, but that's not true because I had an MRI scan probably about a month ago. And I think I'm quite a strong-willed, together person. I knew exactly what I was exposing myself to in this scan machine. I knew I was going to be in a very small, thin tube. And honestly, Barry, for some reason, halfway through the scan, my heart just started to pound. And I thought, stop it now. You're smart enough. You can talk yourself down. Breathe in deeply. Think of something beautiful. Think of being on the Mediterranean and just think of beautiful, calming things. And nothing I could do could bring that heart rate under control. Is that a normal reaction in an MRI machine?
Look, so I think that's a very scary one because it is, like you say, a very closed space. And as you open your eyes, you realize just how it is to you. Going back to it, I'm guessing that there were quite a lot of challenges which brought you to get that MRI done because otherwise you wouldn't.
Correct. So you think that's interesting. So that could take you out of your normal comfort zone and make you more susceptible to the stress or the angst of the machine. Okay, you're making a whole lot of sense to me. What I don't understand is why didn't my will or my intelligence or my ability to take control of the situation, why did that have no effect on it until such time as the scan changed?
Probably because of the way you approached it. You approach yourself in a way that probably increased your anxiety. I'm smart enough. I need to stop, and quite berating to yourself, I think, as well.
Interesting. Interesting. I don't know. It's just I was so surprised at my own reaction. And that gets me then thinking about the daily stresses that we're all exposed to living in South Africa that we kind of stop being aware of at some point because it's just so naturally a part of our lives. I'm thinking about crime. I'm thinking about the difficult economic situation, load shedding, uncertainty. Are you seeing more panic-related systems in your practice because of the environment we live under?
Look, most definitely. I think the reality is ambient stress is a huge thing that South Africans struggle with. I think the studies are saying that we're the second most stressed nation that's not at war. So our levels of cortisol are very, very high. And I think, as you've said as well, how often do you get a chance just to stop? Even in your quiet, relaxing time, it's still worrying about, is there power? Is the alarm on? Is my electric fence working? Will I have money for the next things as well?
So at which point do you need to be concerned about it? At what point should you be seeking help?
So I think you have to look at how debilitating it is. Is it the fact that, like in this case, it was a once-off that you had this panic attack where you're under a lot of stress? You're thinking about what does this mean for my future? What plans do I have to make? What changes do I have to make to my life? And as you said, generally you're a pretty even-keel guy who doesn't have these problems versus, am I now getting to the point that I can't do things, that I can't function? Am I seeing my work declining? Am I seeing the fact that I don't want to go out to places? That's where you need to start thinking about. It's never wrong to go and see someone. If there's something that's concerning you, by all means, I think there's nothing wrong with having someone to talk to, but that doesn't in itself make it a diagnostic challenge at this point.
So that cortisol that you were talking about, is that the agent that is responsible for the racing heart and the tight chest and the sense that something awful is going to happen? Is that the cause?
That's one of them. So cortisol is a stress hormone, and of course that's going to cause adrenaline to go through your body. But adrenaline and cortisol together is never a fun one. You know, where if you think about, you get excitement and you get that dopamine spike, that's a great kind of feeling. Euphoria. This is quite the opposite of fear and panic. And it's very much going back to an evolutional aspect of fight or flight. Either you're going to fight the problem or you're going to run away from it really, really fast.
So,
or the other
one, where
you get stuck. So fawning is the other one where you get stuck and you get that paralyzed element.
Well, that's not very useful from an evolutionary perspective, though, to get stuck in.
No, but some of us further than maybe evolution would have liked us to.
Okay, all right, that makes sense. The one thing people are reported to have said after a panic attack is, I thought I was dying. Why does panic mimic medical emergencies so convincingly?
So I think, so we say it's convincing, but look, I've never had a heart attack, and hopefully you haven't, and I'm hoping you won't in the future. But a lot of the time it's a pain in the chest, and we immediately assume that that's a heart attack. You know, with a panic attack, our heart's racing, as opposed to with a heart attack where our heart is stopping or having challenges pumping. In the same light, we can actually breathe. It just feels incredibly constricted because, again, of tightening of muscles and that anxiety response. So in that kind of case, if your heart is still beating fast, that's a good sign that it's not a medical emergency. The other aspect, like I said, is to try to manage our breathing, which is very hard. And it's, again, to be kind to ourselves. One or two quick breaths is not going to make this go away. In the same light, just trying to self-soothe, trying to find ourselves in spaces where we're feeling safe, we're feeling grounded, is also very helpful. If you can try to maybe drink some water, like a gentle sip of water, and try not to gulp it down, that can help as well to start to regulate ourselves.
But these are not instant panaceas, because as I said, I tried that. I really did try that. I tried to take myself somewhere relaxed and calm and peaceful and breathe. And as I was trying to do that, so I could feel the heartbeat faster and faster. It's not just, you know, do as I do as I say. There seems to be far more complex than just that. I wanted to talk to you about this issue of shame around panic, because I guess some people think it means they're weak or not coping. Mm-hmm. And from a psychological perspective, how would you help somebody reframe that?
Well, I think the first thing we have to do is understand what the function of it was. And, you know, obviously we all have different points in our lives and different breaking points. And sometimes, as you said in your example, I can think of times with family members or a child who's really, really sick, and there's lots of other pressures on at that point. Mm. Normally you can manage it. And in that moment, it was just too much.
Yeah, I guess that makes perfect sense. That's so exactly what it was.
It's a once-off. And again, every other time you've been okay. So it's not about weakness. It's about understanding that and about a little bit of kindness to ourselves. I think it becomes a bit trickier as it happens in the workspace. I mean, I can think about either colleagues or people I know had similar problems in a workspace, and then it's that embarrassment of going back to that space.
I guess that makes a whole bunch of sense, what you're saying now. Final question then for this afternoon.
Sure.
If you were to advise families or partners to support somebody who struggles with panic, but without minimizing it or accidentally making it worse, what would you tell them?
I think it's the first one is to try to understand what the triggers are, and to understand that it is embarrassing. It's not what someone wants. We can look at how. First of all, normalize the symptoms, explain the pattern of the fear or avoidance, and emphasize that things will get better and can get better, and that it's about breaking the cycle.
Barry Viljoen, as always, really appreciate your input here on Chai FM. We've just been discussing International Panic Day and how to deal with panic.